Let's take our Bibles and let's go to Romans chapter 7. Take our Bibles and go to Romans chapter 7. The title of this teaching is Be the Super Christian Conqueror. God's Word is so amazing. It gives us hope. It gives us deliverance. And in life, no matter what is accomplished out there, good or bad, no matter what is being accomplished, good or bad, no matter what's attempted or attempting to be accomplished in our lives, there is hope. There is hope. And I think that just like what Jerry said, that all learning comes outside the individual, hope also is one of those things that comes from outside of the individual. And I'd like to share some things about that, because God's Word teaches about different things that we go through, and we've aptly named them birthing pangs, but they're also called afflictions. We know that afflictions are being accomplished in all the brethren, all over the world, all of the time. It's nonstop. There are things happening all the time. Well, God's Word also teaches us that we have the insight, that we have the hope, that we have the answers, that we have the deliverance and the victory to whatever goes on in life. And as more than conqueror Christians, we can perform God's Word no matter what contrary attempts may be trying to be accomplished toward us or in our lives. And may God's Word today resonate loudly to our inward man, to the Christ in us, to the more than conqueror Christian, which we are, to hope itself. Romans chapter 7, my first point is called, I Find Not. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 to 22. We're going to look at a couple of these afflictions. We're going to zero right in on them, and we're going to identify so that we can describe and understand what we each deal with all the time, during the day, all over the world, all the brethren, and it could be random, but I'm making my point. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, Paul said, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I'm going to say one word here, and I'm going to say net, like fishing net, net. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So here's the big question. How to delight in God's Word while finding not how to perform that same word, the good? That's the big question. Next chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 8, I'd like to read verses 33 to 36. Romans chapter 8, and verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again? Who is even right now, at this very moment, at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the agape of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And verse 36, that is, as it is written, for thy sake We are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. For the good that I would, I find not. We got something here that's hindering the finding of the good. And it's described so well here in Romans chapter 8. It hinders us finding the good, but the good's there, and we really want to do it. Once again, we've got the big question. How to delight in God's word while finding not? I find not. I find not how to perform the same word, the good. So what's the reason for it? What is the reason for it? I've just barely opened it up. But what's the reason for the finding not? John chapter 10. There is a spiritual battle. Yes, John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Yeah, there is a spiritual battle raging. That's the reason for the I find not. It's not just because of the individual. There's a battle going on. The steal, kill, and destroy thievery attempts to invalidate the more abundant life. It's always out there attempting to do it. 24/7. The same afflictions are accomplished of your brethren that are in the world. Sure. Revelation 21. I'm painting a picture. I'm painting the I find not picture and defining it a little bit. Revelation 21, I'd like to read verses 1 to 4. Verse 1 of Revelation 21, this is the cause and effect. We're in a spiritual war, a battle. Well, there's a cause and effect produced from the thievery, from the kill, steal, and destroy thievery. There's a cause and effect produced. How do you feel when you have loss in your life? How do you feel when something is gone that was there before? How do you feel when something was taken? How do you feel? See, there's a cause and effect produced. Those are as real as the actual cause. We have to deal with that all the time. It's part of the I find not. Verse 1 of Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city. Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice, verse 3, out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The I find not things are going to be passed away, the cause and effect things, because the cause is going to be removed. And what is the greatest enemy? Death. It's going to be removed. We deal with the cause and effect. Many of the greatest saints and heroes of the Bible, they faced overwhelming depression. They even wrote about it. King David wrote about it. You can look it up if you're taking notes in Psalm 13, verses 2 to 4. The prophet Jeremiah wrote about it. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 14 to 18. Job wrote about it, just to name a few. In Job chapter 7, verses 15 and 16, Job even wrote that he wished he'd never even been born. It got that bad. Paul and the apostles, they all reached low points where they despaired of their very lives. And we know that death is an enemy. It's the enemy that causes these things, and it's the enemy that causes the cause and effect of those things. And we need to learn how to separate this in our lives so we're not blaming ourselves when we feel a certain way. We're going through things. Proverbs chapter 13. My next bullet point is hope deferred. if not only afflictions and all those things and the sorrows and how we feel about loss and stuff happened, there's one more. In Proverbs chapter 13, and it's called Hope Deferred. Hope Deferred. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. We're going to look at this word hope deferred as we move on here, what it really means. But hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when a desire comes, it's a tree of life. Hope and desire. God's desire for us is life and life more abundantly. And we have the battle raging between life and death. Whenever and wherever hope is drawn away, there is a loss of desire. And that's what deferred means. It means to be drawn away from us. To be drawn away. Something else replaces it. Which is the sorrow, the worry, the tears, the gnashing of teeth. Whatever a person goes through when they're having any kind of cause and effect of the thievery ministry in John 10:10a. Loss makes the heart sick. Whenever and wherever the desires of the heart are deferred or drawn away, the heart is tremendously affected. Our hearts are tremendously affected. It becomes sick. Hopelessness, despair, depression, they're all part of the heart becoming sick. The heart has become trapped and entangled in a web, in a net of hopelessness, despair and depression. It may not be able to escape it. That's how entangling these type of things are, because we're dealing with a spiritual battle. A net. However, there is hope. Desire will come. And having said that, I'd like to teach you about the net exposed. And we need to go to Isaiah chapter 5 to study about this and to learn about this, because we've pretty clearly laid out the statement of the problem, the issue at hand. The good that I want to do, I can't find it to do. What's making me not do it? I feel like I'm trapped. A net? A snare? I can't escape. Every day I feel like this. And then somebody comes and speaks the word and you get delivered. You get pulled out. You're drawn back. Isaiah chapter 5 and verses 18 to 20. The net exposed. Woe unto them that draw iniquity. This is the same word as that hope deferred we just looked at. They draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with a cart rope. They're making nets. They're drawing them. They're making nets. They're entangling. They're using words. It could be a physical trap, I guess, but we're talking about word battles, talking about doctrines of devils versus the doctrine of God's word. We're talking about winds of doctrine. Yeah, we're talking about that stuff. That say, verse 19, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's the net. That's what they're doing. That's the words of doctrine that are being taught that people get entrapped and ensnared by, that they start believing. And their whole design is to steal, kill, and destroy. There's no good in it at all. The enemies of all righteousness. We learned that in Acts. Wasn't it in the book of Acts, Paul? He called one of the bad guys, you're the enemy of righteousness. Enemy of righteousness. Those perverting the right ways of God, they're using cords of vanity. They make nets out of iniquity and sin. They call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. But there is hope. I'm just laying out what the net is. We deal with it all the time. We walk in this life. Psalm 31. Psalm 31, because I want to show you about this net. I want to expose the net. I want to expose the net. That's why this little section is called the net exposed. Psalm 31, verses 4 and 5. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, secretly for me. For thou art my strength. God, you've got to pull me out. I can't do it myself. I'm trapped. Pull me out of the net. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. The greatest net is the grave. The greatest enemy is death. But all the forms of it and the cause and effect of it we deal with all the time. The nets of steal, kill, and destroy are privily and secretly laid. But there is hope. Psalm 35. Go up a few books. A few chapters. A few psalms. Psalm 35, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Without cause. Without cause. You're never going to be able to figure out a reason for why things happen to you in life. But you do know the cause of it. You don't have to be consumed about the cause and effect and get all caught up in there and let it form who you are. We'll see that in a minute. Because it's without cause. They've hid for me their net in a pit. And without cause, they've digged for my soul, my very life. Well, took the angel of the Lord. He fought against the enemy that lays nets without cause. And we see a lot of how the angel of the Lord works. Jerry referred to that this morning. The Lord rebuke you. Having a fight with the devil over the body of Moses. Go figure. We don't know the cause stuff. We know who the cause is, and we just ask God to rebuke it. We don't have to have some great dissertation be prepared, have to come to this great amount of knowledge before we can humbly go to God. Well, we humbly go to God, but we just say, God, rebuke this stuff. I need help. Yeah. The enemy who seeks to capture and trap the soul took the angel of the Lord working behind the scenes. There is hope. So the net's exposed. That's a little bit about what the net is, but we need to be able to see the net. Proverbs chapter 1. The net's exposed, but we need to be able to see it. How do we see the net? How do we clearly see the net? Well, it's a revelation walk on that one. God's got to reveal it because it's spiritual in nature. It's not some physical net laid on the ground. I see that. I'm not going to walk into that. Oh, what a dummy prepared that net. I'm just going to walk around it. No. But it's kind of like that. Most people are spiritual, woefully inadequate spiritually when it comes to being able to see the way God wants them to see. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 17, see the net. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. If you ever gone bird hunting, you know how tricky it is to get them. Even if you got a shotgun that can shoot a blast of pellets 24 inches wide, they still miss it. Birds are pretty sneaky, but birds can see a net. And it's in vain that the net is spread in the sight of any bird. In vain is the same as that word we looked at without cause. In vain. Yeah. It may look like without a cause, but there is a cause. It may look like there's no reason. You know, people ask the why question, which we don't, but you can ask it. They ask, why is this happening? Why is this going on? Oh, why is this happening? Nope. We know why it's happening because we know who the cause is. But we don't know what I just shared because it's all in vain. There's no sense even trying to figure it out. It's part of the spiritual battle. The cause is the enemy stealing, killing, and destroying. That's the cause. Well, see the net. Psalm 119. We need to see the net. Psalm 119, verses 161 and 162. In Psalm 119. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. Verse 161. Without a cause. That's the same word as the word in vain. Without a cause. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoils. So can we rejoice at God's word when the princes are persecuting without a cause? Whatever their motive is, whatever they're doing. Yeah, well, verses come to my mind like, I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. God is my strength. I will fear no man. Persecution is the net being spread. No matter the nets of persecution, no matter the persecution, I stand in awe and rejoice at God's word. There is hope. And that goes back to what we were just looking at. Finding the good to do and doing it. So the good that I would, I do not. I find not how to do it. But here's somebody that did. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoils, no matter what the persecution. There is hope. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 40. So you got to see the net. Got to see the net. We haven't really got to that part, but we're going to right now. This little blurb is called Mount Up as Eagles. Isaiah chapter 40. And in verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There is hope. The nets are visible to the eagle. We are seated in the heavenlies, right beside our Lord Jesus Christ, never more to come into condemnation. We are seated in the heavenlies, and with God's help, He'll show us the net. It takes God showing us the net. It takes God rebuking the entanglements of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. That's how we see the net. Make sense? Well, let's explain a little bit about the net then. About this net. These are real life situations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'd like to read verses 14 to 16. The net explained. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest a savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? To God we are a sweet savor, and that's what always matters. Not somebody else's opinion that what you're saying is not truth. It stinks to them. There's something wrong with you, the way you believe, that kind of thing coming at you. That's more the persecution. What they're really saying is, why don't you believe my way? Well, recovery from the nets of those calling bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Right in front of God and everyone, they say that death is life and life is death. They say the death smell you are smelling is sweet. They say that God took so and so. These are the nets of those calling evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. There's more. Luke chapter 23. Right in front of us, they're saying the exact opposite of what God's word says. And people swallow it whole. Well, we don't, because we know what God's word says. Luke chapter 23 and verse 43. When our Lord Jesus Christ was dying on that stake, He turned to one of the malefactors and He said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, how does that sound? Right now, today? Even in today's religious circles, the bitter savor of death is pawned off for sweet and for life. Well, the last I heard, when Jesus Christ got up from the dead, He was on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Where were these guys that this promise was made to? In paradise? Is earth paradise right now? That Jesus Christ was on the earth 40 days, showing Himself alive after many infallible proofs? No, it's not. That's in the future. That part of dispensationalism that we understand, the seventh administration, after the one in the apocalypsis, the period, the sixth administration, definitely not in paradise. And that man that he talked to was not alive. But religion teaches that I'm telling you that today you're going to be with me in paradise. And we got a couple lies right there. The administrations were not correct by what's being taught now, but in that you'll be alive right now? No, that's not what Jesus Christ was saying. He's saying, I'm telling you right now that in the future shalt be. That's real Greek, and it means future tense, absolute future tense, that in the future you are going to be with me in paradise. And that's the final administration, where we're back in Eden, when the new heaven and new earth is created. But it's being pawned off otherwise. I'm just making a point about the net explained, what we deal with every day. So even in today's religious circle, that bitter savor of death is pawned off as sweet and for life. Matthew chapter 4. I've got to tell you something. This is the practical side. There is a second set of nets. There are other nets out there. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. A second set of nets. In verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a what? They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You're going to have your own net casting business. You're going to be able to cast net and be fishers of men. And I'm going to help you do that. You can't do it by yourself, because all learning comes from outside the individual seeking. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a really a catchy situation. Catching. Nets. Drawing. Pulling. Hooking. Entangling. Yes. The casting of nets and being fishers of men is what God wants His people to do in the Gospels and now. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. In meekness, verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at His will. Sure. Sure. That's the same as in Luke chapter 5. Jesus told Simon, says, don't be afraid. From henceforth, you're going to catch men. You can look these up on your own, but to catch men, it's the same Greek word as taken captive. It means to catch. It means to net. Okay, so that's kind of given us a little bit of information, but then what kind of a net do we have? What does it mean? What kind of a net do we have? Because we've gone from understanding what the net is, what it's made of, exposing it, being able to see it, and then explain about that, but now we're explaining about another net, but it needs a little bit of explanation too. This is the net that we have. This is the net that we have. With instruction, with meekness, recovery from captivity can happen. So, number one, that's how people can get out of the nets that are in the world. Recovery from being netted in the cords of iniquity and sin, and the cause and effect of those. Doesn't mean that you're caught up in iniquity and sin. You got to think the cause and effect, how people live their lives and what we're around and what it's so easy to think about. Well, we want to put on God's word because we want to get to the joy and rejoicing part. See, it's the nets of those calling evil good and good evil that put darkness for light and light for darkness. God's got a whole different net, and I want to show you that in Jeremiah chapter 31. God's net is a net of loving kindness and mercy. It is a net. It's described as a net so that we can understand what it's all about. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Like drawing of the net, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And loving kindness is the Hebrew word for mercy. Joy and I were talking about mercy the other day, and how amazing God's mercy is in our lives, withholding the merit to judgment. The intricacy of God's loving kindness, it is His mercy. His mercy forms a protective net around our lives. It draws us to Himself. His mercy. This drawing, it's a tangible pulling. Have I drawn thee? We want to go to God. We love God. We want to be part of who He is. And we turn in that direction. We go that way. There's a drawing that happens. It's from a drawing point of view, it's these are the same words used for drawn, like Joseph being drawn out of the well. There was something tangible about it. That's my point. He was drawn out of that well and sold into slavery, of course. It's like the Leviathan being drawn out of the water, the fish with the hook in its mouth. Something tangible. It drew him out toward whoever was drawing. It's like hope being deferred and pulled away. Hope being drawn away when the desire was just smashed by sorrow, by loss. It just gets drawn away out of a hopeful person's life. It's like inequity being drawn around the soul. And all these I've just shared a little bit about in the Word, even if only referring to. Psalm 31 and verse 7. This is God's loving kindness, which is His mercy. He draws us to Him with this. It's tangible. It's real. It's alive. God's mercy is in our lives all the time. He knows who we are. He knows our lives. He loves us. He cares for us. I'll show that to you. Psalm 31 and verse 7. In verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. This is the same word as loving kindness, the Hebrew word. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. And mercy does rejoice against judgment. Mercy allows gladness and rejoicing of the heart. The entrance of gladness and rejoicing, the entrance of the desire coming, signals that hope is alive and well. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities. Hosea chapter 11. The net of God. God knows. He considers. He knows. He pours His living mercy out upon His people. It makes people want to go to that which is merciful. Who wants to go to a judgment and a condemnation and more hurt and pain? Nobody does. The drawing is us walking in that direction also. It's up to the individual. Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 11. I'd like to read verses 3 to 5. This is about Israel and how God drew them. Hosea chapter 11, verse 3. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Jeremiah.
Thank you.
That area there. Verse 3. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them, this is Israel from Egypt, I drew them. This is that word that I just explained with Joseph and with drawing and pulling and the fish and I drew them. Who's the tangible entity here? Our Heavenly Father. He drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Sure, there were people involved. And I was to them, Hosea 11 verse 4, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat upon them. The releasing of the net. The releasing of the bondage happens with the net of God, the drawing of God to Himself. There is no bondage. There is no fear. There is no dismay. There is no sorrow. There is no pain. There is no suffering with our Heavenly Father. There is no death in His presence, close by His side, drawing near unto Him, which we talked about this morning a little bit. Thank you, Jerry. We talked about that, drawing near unto God, because there's nothing but good there. That's the good. And so when we have the I find nots in our life, it's not God causing it. God wants us to come near to Him. He's drawing us to Him. It's the battle that we're in. It's what's going on, the afflictions that are accomplished in our brethren that are in the world. That's the net. They're trapped. They're entangled. They got one foot in, one foot out, maybe. Or their whole life is entangled. And it takes help, spiritual help. I laid meat upon them. They didn't even know I was doing it. They just saw men leading them. They saw Moses leading them. They saw Aaron leading them. They saw the 70 council. They saw the groups they splintered into to take care of each other. But it was God that did it for them. Verse 5, He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be His king because they refuse to return. See, God does the drawing. What God does behind the scenes in the lives of His people, it delivers them from the slavery and the net of God's enemy. They, right here, they do not. But we know. We can look in the rearview mirror. From the historical perspective of God's Word, we know, oh yeah, man, what's wrong with those guys? They knew not. They were trapped, but God still delivered them. He took them out. He was working mightily. They knew not that God healed and delivered them. They weren't even giving God the glory and the credit. You can go find that, the golden calves and all that stuff they were doing. God just delivered them out of the enemy's hands. Sure. Part of the enemy's net's nature is that the nets are hidden. The enemy's hidden. The nets are hidden. They don't even know they're in a trap. Much less know that God's delivering. Most are not even aware of stepping into a trap. It takes a revelation walk, and it takes a knowledge of God's Word to know that. We are among the few that have that Word. Those Christians that take a stand and learn God's Word, oh my gosh. And one of the things that Jerry shared this morning, that most people, they don't know the things that we know. They're not privy to it. They're not privy to it. Well, we are privy to it. There's no secret, in other words. God delivered and drew them out with bands of love. He drew them out with bands of love. Oh, yeah. Bands, tangible. God's agape is what pulls and draws. The way that God behaves, the way that God lives, the way that God acts, and He wants us to do the same. The strength of our life has the same bands. The strength of our life, our connection to our Heavenly Father, our connection to each other, and our ability to encircle and net, so to speak, to be catchers of men, is because of the agape life. It's because of the agape presence. That quality of God. The big picture, God's net of loving kindness and mercy for Israel. See, it's taking shape. It's taking form now. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'd like to read verses 8 to 10. In verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, in the right way of believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The strengthening helps everyone get through the afflictions in life. Afflictions, the same afflictions are accomplished in our brethren that are in the world. We're not alone in what we go through. The old thief would like us to think we are, but we're not. We're all dealing with stuff all the time. But we're dealing with it according to God's Word. The big picture of God's net of loving kindness, His mercy, for us, it takes shape and form. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'd like to read verses 11 to 14. Because we have a job to do. Didn't Jesus tell Peter and the apostles that? I want you to become fishers of men. I want you to take and live, we know now, live the agape lifestyle. I want you to take and hold forth my word as ministers of reconciliation. Because in Christ's presence, you stand right now. We have a job to do. So our focus is on that. But yet sometimes we are in, I find not. It's so overwhelming. That's because of the strength of the thief's net. But God's strength is far greater. And by his infinite mercy, he's already pulled us out of the grave. Death no longer hath dominion over our lives. And he'll pull us out of any net that is trying to ensnare us now that's being laid privately by those doing what I explained about in the first part of the teaching. Verse 11 through 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now perform the doing of it. What? What I find not. That which I want to do, I find not. Well, perform the doing of it. But I can't find it. Oh, yes, you can. It's right there. Just do it. Perform the doing of it as there were a readiness of will, so that there may be a performance also out of that which you have. We're in a performance. We're like fishers of men. We've got a job to do. We've got a net. We're holding forth God's word, way bigger than whatever we go through in life. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Somewhere there in Romans. For if there be first a willing mind, verse 12, first a what? But the good I find not. Don't you think there might be a little bit about willingness there? I am the willing person. I will be willing, I tell myself. I will be willing. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to perform the doing of it. There has to be a willing mind. Well, if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. The great principle of giving and receiving, of abundant sharing, captions this. And our book that was penned by Jerry's hands explains it so well. Verse 13, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. We're not only fishers of men, but those that are in the net of God's mercy and his loving kindness, those that are walking the agape lifestyle, those that are banded together with their Heavenly Father with bands of agape, well, we got to take care of each other. It's not just going out and winning new people to the Lord Jesus Christ, so to speak. We take care of each other. That's where this comes into play. The equality, even Stephenness, that we take care of each other. While afflictions are being accomplished all the time, everywhere and everybody, guess what? We have this great abundant sharing principle to apply and live by. We participate and are witnesses of the incredible supply abundance principle that I just read about. That's also being accomplished everywhere and everybody in the body of Christ. Or should be. It is here. Part of our life as Christians is to perform God's word no matter what nets are out there. Separate them. Separate them. And separate the cause and effect stuff. We have willing minds, willing to perform from what we have. We have willing minds to live according to God's word and help by our abundant sharing and good works. And this does bring godly equality. And finally, in Romans chapter 8, I'd like to read verses 37 and 38. Because I read the sheep fled for the slaughter part, and we're not just sheep fled for the slaughter, but that's what the nets try to make you think. They really do. And I actually think they do a very good job. And then they're invisible. Don't know where it's coming from. You try to blame self, and it's not self. It's the nets, and it's a spiritual battle out there. We can't even come up with the idea of kill, steal, and destroy, much less make a net to entrap our own self. No. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and then 38 and 39. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, the agape theos, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And finally, I speak from experience. This word that I'm sharing with you, I put this on in my life. I have to. Gary alluded to it a little bit. There are just things that happen in life sometimes and we push through them. But God's word gives hope and deliverance. No matter what is being accomplished or is what is attempted to be accomplished in life, there is hope. Afflictions are being accomplished in the world all the time, everybody, everywhere and everybody. But now, and now I say this because we just learned it, now we have the insight, the hope, the answers, the deliverance, and the victory. We are more than conquerors. As a more than the conqueror Christians, we can perform God's word, no matter the contrary attempts trying to be accomplished. That's a little tongue twister. But whatever's going on, whatever's coming at you, knocking at your door, those are attempts to net, to ensnare, if they're contrary to God's word, and they're going to fall to the ground. God makes them fall to the ground. He makes the yoke go off the neck. He just takes it off. He took him right out of Egypt. He took Paul right out of the despairing even of life with his comfort, another living entity. With and because of God's mercy, God has drawn us to himself. No matter what comes, act like a more than a conqueror. Perform, act, willing mind. Do it. We are truthful people. We have truth. I was recently told that I have truth. That I can take that truth to anybody on the face of this earth and explain it to them line by line. I am a truthful person. And lies, deceit, thievery will fall to the ground. No matter what comes, act like a super Christian conqueror. We are truthful people. Each one of us are truthful people. No one can hold a candle to us. No one. No one can hold a candle to us. We have the truth. Well, how do we become fearless? How do we become fearless when the ensnarements try to make us feel otherwise? Where we find not how to do the good. Well, we willingly rise up and do it. But how do we do that? We become fearless by speaking the truth. Say what the Word of God says, no matter what. This is God's Word. Become fearless by speaking the truth. Why? Because we have the victory. We're guaranteed of the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, our merciful God. And that's a little bit about being the super Christian conqueror. Amen.